The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Think ratings don't matter anymore? What's up, everyone? It is Thursday, February 27, 2020. I am Don Tony, and this is your WWE Super Showdown pay-per-view recap and review. You know, I stood up to the wee hours of the morning, getting the Patreon contest together, making sure I had my news all done. I had all my insurance work done in advance so I could go home early, watch the pay-per-view. It wasn't bad. And I've said this since the second Saudi Arabia show. If you remember, I balked the first one just to make a little statement as far as the women's situation. That's improved a little bit. And great, no water bottles thrown tonight. Then again, I didn't see anybody drinking water bottles, so maybe they weren't even allowed in the arena. And something else got confiscated. If you haven't heard about it, oh boy, are we going to trigger the haters and the jealous folk today. Can't escape this one, but I tell you, if you listened on Monday of the predictions, you know, I said as far as Goldberg and The Fiend, you could see it two ways. The way that I wanted to see it, even though I'm not thrilled about Roman Reigns versus The Fiend for the title, you almost felt like the next person you saw with the red X in the eyes on the Firefly Funhouse should have been Roman Reigns. If you listen back to Monday, I said the second scenario is to have Goldberg get the win, and then maybe you have Goldberg versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I tell you, man, did not think, honestly, that Goldberg was going to win. It felt like a filler match. You know, it's Saudi Arabia, so obviously, you know, they're going to... And let's also realize something. This is something that I have seen nobody write. Yes, the pay-per-view just ended 10 minutes ago, but nobody is saying this. Elimination Chamber is only 9 days away or 10 days away. There's no guarantee that Goldberg has that title going into WrestleMania. This might have been a hot shot decision because it's Saudi Arabia. So before anybody out there gets really, really upset, gets their balls in a bunch over this, let's see where it goes from here. But obviously, you know, this is disappointing because to me, as far as SmackDown goes, yes, the Otis, you know, storyline is a little bit intriguing. It's not over yet, but The Fiend has been my favorite character on SmackDown. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm a little bit confused with this. That's why I think more than anything, this might be Saudi Arabia having the influence more than anything else, you know, guaranteeing a title change. Don't be surprised if Goldberg loses it very, very quickly. But anyway, now look, this pay-per-view went on for about 3.5 hours. We had 10 matches. They added three at the last minute, which we will cover as well. But I don't want anybody to think this is going to be like a 60 or a 90-minute recap. This event does not warrant that. I can honestly say no matches were awful, but a lot of the matches ended a lot sooner than we expected. And, you know, a lot of it was predictable. Miz and Morrison, the new WWE tag champs, I think almost all of you out there were along with me. And I'm telling you, I think the storyline with Otis and Mandy Rose will come into play with this. Because if you remember, before Miz even signed, before he even debuted on TV, I said, you know what, put Morrison with Miz, do Miz and Morrison as a tag team again, and then you have New Day, remember this? New Day to Miz and Morrison to Heavy Machinery at WrestleMania. If they don't turn Otis heel and they don't make Tucker heel, and they don't make him that mother Tucker that's trying to sabotage Otis because he was abandoning his partner for love, that's where I would want the storyline to go. But, you know, unfortunately, things are much simpler on Fox. 8 p.m., regular TV, it's more kid-friendly. You know, even the monster has his own dollhouse with the puppets and everything like that. And I'm not criticizing it. But I think sometimes we think more of I don't want to say an intelligent promotion, because WWE is obviously very smart. Look at the money that they're making, even though the stock market is down. But, you know, you have to think less. You know, if you think less as far as the storylines, you probably end up with the outcomes that you expect. But we had some fun earlier today. Oh, my God. You know, I want everybody to realize something. I hyped up Going Video for about 6 months in 2019. After 22 years of doing audio stuff, it became very boring. And it was still fun, but, you know, I always knew this, you know, connection, video, seeing my eyes, getting animated, doing goofy things. You know, that's just a new element to bring to the table. And when you see this face smile, it is genuine, 24/7, 365. And it still bugs me to this day that, you know, there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be jealous people, but friends of mine that, you know, literally talk nice to my face and stab me in the back. I say it all the time to all of you. I don't take it personal. It's like a drug to my veins. If I could trigger people that much, I mean, just the best revenge for everybody listening, I will say this 10,000 times before I die. The best revenge that any of you could give to anybody online is not a catchy tweet, is not an insult. It is success. When the more success you get, the more bitter it becomes for people. The more positive stuff I post, you see people disappear all the time. And in case you didn't see it, yeah, I'm getting married too. That too, yeah. But in case you didn't see it earlier, you know, when I say that we have listeners, I have friends all across the globe that tune into Don Tony's work, people think I'm full of shit sometimes. Well, earlier today, I get home, I'm watching the pay-per-view. Next thing I know, because I just set up on Instagram and I have the PM set on social media, and I hear my phone going bing, 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 bing. I'm like, who the fuck is bothering me? I thought, okay, if it's Shaheen to give me some pay-per-view artwork for Super Showdown, that's cool. You know, maybe Dell's, you know, had to contact me about something, but it was just bing, 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 bing. And then I start clicking on it, and people are like, did you see what happened on Saudi Arabia with the Don Tony sign? I'm like, no. I know I didn't see anything on television. But there was fans in attendance with their cell phones, and they recorded this. This was in Saudi Arabia today. This is a WWE official and somebody in the building confiscating, wait for it, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don Tony sign. Don Tony sign got confiscated in Saudi Arabia. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, you know, the gods are smiling down on me, because my immediate thought was, make sure you pay attention as far as who out there who does not like that tweet. That's like battery acid to the jealous people out there. That got confiscated in Saudi Arabia. Now I got to give a shout out to OG85. He is a friend of mine, you know, not personally, but through the shows. Big supporter of what I do. He brought a Don Tony sign. Now, there's a little bit of controversy. And if I didn't say this, you know, then it looks too one-sided. But he actually had multiple signs there. And this was the only one that got taken away. But on the opposite side of the sign, it said Rita for WrestleMania. Now, some people out there are like, okay, maybe it got confiscated because of that. And I'm not saying it because it was a Don Tony sign. But the thing is that Saudi Arabia, the fans have pride. They love WWE. I mean, for anybody out there that thinks that because they're 18 million miles away, that it's like a primitive cave life, that they don't have internet, that they don't have WWE on a regular basis, you heard them. Everything, along with Paul Heyman, the reigning, defending, undisputed WWE heavyweight champion of the world. You get the rest. I'm not going to do it now and lose my voice. They went with every phrase, every chant, and you could see they are hardcore WWE fans. Why would an official take away a sign that says Rita for WrestleMania? That's a positive thing. That's an awesome thing if it happened for Saudi Arabia. So old man Jenkins says he unsubscribed. Oh, boy, because you saw this? Because you saw this? And you know what? He might be talking about something totally, totally different. But, hey, you know, it's so nice. I think we got to play it twice. I don't know why somebody put Super Wrestling in the logo. I think that's pretty funny because it's a Don Tony sign that got confiscated. So, and you know what? I love triggering the haters. I love doing it in my own creative way. And you are so goddamn lucky that I don't even have the picture in front of me where Don Tony was quote unquote trending on. So, I spoke too soon. There you go. Lower right hand corner just to piss off the haters. There you go. I'm just trying to get myself in a good mood, everybody. This pay-per-view was not bad. It was average. Again, you have to go into the Saudi Arabia pay-per-views completely different. Radio Wrestling, listening live from Rory, Ireland. Shout out to you, my friend. Shout out to everybody tuning in live. You know, this is a little bit awkward because it's only 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in New York. And I know a lot of people work till 5. You know, some people sleep during the day. So not a lot of people are going to be able to tune in live, obviously, but I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to let me go over this pay-per-view a little bit. And again, if you go into the Saudi Arabia events more for spectacle than, you know, match quality, and, you know, look, some of the wrestlers, they give their money's worth. Still to this day, Triple H versus Randy Orton and even Mansoor, Don Finucci's son or nephew, Mansoor versus Cesaro, two matches that stand out to me to this day. So some matches have been excellent, but it's more about show and spectacle, and you can't take a lot of it seriously. You know, that's why I say, as much as we might be and look, anybody that listens on a regular basis, I defend Goldberg. I have praised Goldberg. I said that they righted the wrong when they had him destroy Dolph Ziggler. I know some people out there got really triggered when they saw that match. I defended Goldberg last week. I thought that how they set up him and Bray Wyatt was excellent. Matthew Rychecki, what's up, my friend? Cheers from the West Coast. Oh, it's only 12:45 where you are. So that's cool. That's cool. But, you know, you gotta just look at it like that. Goldberg, I've defended. You know, I mean, it's funny when you listen to older people who have been watching wrestling for 20, 30 years, at least up until the Monday Night Wars. You know what Goldberg was back in the day. You know, he had a Shangata match with Undertaker. And, you know, obviously he got injured and it knocked him for a loop. But this is what I say with the utmost respect. People out there that goof on Goldberg over and over again. Look at the fucking Undertaker's matches for the last 3 years plus. Look at that god-awful crap that happened with Roman Reigns. Look at some of the other matches. Look at Kane and the Undertaker versus DX in Saudi Arabia. You cannot go on social media and just constantly shit on Goldberg and then you give Undertaker a pass because he's one of your favorites of all time. You know, if you want to just say, look, I'm not a fan of Goldberg, I totally respect that. But to turn around and say, oh, he's gasping for air, he sucks, he hasn't been good since 2001, it is just an ad, and blah, 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 blah. It's just like the same thing, you know, when you make fun of the size of Yuka Nakazaki, but then, you know, you don't say nothing about Alexa Bliss. Look at their height and weights, and you know what I'm talking about. There's a big difference between being a fan and not being a fan of someone, and someone just totally you know, just ripping on the person just for the sake of ripping on the person. So I've defended Goldberg. Now, the reason why I say all this is because even with my defense of Goldberg, I don't like this outcome. Because Bray Wyatt has been arguably the top merchandise seller in the WWE for the last year. I could tell you from Patreon, the contest today, it's either a cash prize or a Bray Wyatt prize package. The gym, the t-shirt, the puppets, this, this, and that. And I could tell you with the God honest truth that for the last 6 months, Bray Wyatt prizes have been by far the most popular item that people select. Sure, you may not want to keep a title on someone because of that, but that's why I say, you know, you look at it on one side and you're like, wow, you know, you take it off of Bray Wyatt, who is, you know, you know what I mean, for this. But again, you got to look at it in the eyes at Saudi Arabia. You know, we pay your extra money, title change, Goldberg, you know. Goldberg may not be champion by WrestleMania. So take a wait and see approach for it. Now, let's get into the matches themselves. The kickoff show, we had Charlie Caruso, Scott Stanford, and David Otunga doing the kickoff. And first match, which was not announced until yesterday, the Viking Raiders, they lose to Gallows and Anderson. You know, originally, when I heard about this match, I thought, okay, I looked at the outcome of every match, and it was very heel, very, you know, one side as far as heels winning. Now, again, you know, I thought Bray Wyatt was going to win. So I said, okay, we got to get some baby faces in here somewhere. So I thought, okay, Viking Raiders, you know, they're not beating Gallows and Anderson often in Saudi Arabia. Maybe this is the first time they get the win. I know the whole best in the world thing with the OC, but I thought, okay, maybe, you know, we have the Viking Raiders. Now, Gallows and Anderson get the win. And this keeps with the best in the world. Fine. Not a big deal. Opening match on the card itself, AJ Styles versus Rey Mysterio versus R-Truth versus Andrade versus Eric Rowan versus Bobby Lashley. Gauntlet match for the TWIC trophy. I say it fast so I don't sound like I got it wrong. TWIC. Man, I would love to have a TWIC right now. I'm on keto. Can't have that. Sucks. But for those, now look, I don't have many pictures from tonight, but I thought you might all want to see what Lana was wearing tonight. You know, a little more clothes than the last time she was on, but hey, that's to respect the tradition in Saudi Arabia. You know, the match was not bad. My pick was R-Truth. I thought it would be, you know, again, I looked at baby faces, did not expect some certain individual to get involved. We'll get to that in a little bit. But my pick was R-Truth. They have the 24 special debuting. I thought it would be comedy fodder for him to have the trophy. Maybe he tries to defend the trophy. You know, you have the trophy on TV. He could think it's the 24-7 title. There's a lot of things you could do with that trophy. No, we'll just give it to a guy that never goes on TV. That's how I looked at it. I mean, again, it's spectacle for Saudi Arabia. You can't use regular logic because this is more of, oh, the best. And I this might be a really bad example, but it's like a band that really cannot perform anymore, but they still show up in a foreign country who has always wanted to see them up close and personal, and they lip sync all the songs. I'm not saying the wrestlers lip sync their effort in the ring, because a lot of people busted their ass today. They gave their money's worth. But again, you got to look at it as spectacle. Now, Lashley loses to R-Truth. You know, it was very quick and a little bit of faux pas on Lashley's part. Then we had Andrade come out, and basically what happened, and again, this is a gauntlet match, so each you know, decision was less than 6 minutes. The first two were about 5 minutes. The next two were like 2 minutes. But Andrade, R-Truth, they butt heads. No Zelina Vega, by the way. And, you know, R-Truth gets the abrupt win. So now we got two wins for R-Truth. And I'm like, hey, man, my prediction might actually be pretty good. What's up, Joe Maurer? Yeah, Space Invaders. Yes. I was a little pressed as far as what I was going to wear today. And to be honest with you, for some reason, it's cold in here today. So I didn't want to wear the suit jacket. So I just decided I'll throw on a sweatshirt, you know. Plus, we're not going to be on all that long today. But R-Truth, yeah, a little, you know, maybe from the butting of the heads. And R-Truth, man, survived a lot longer than Ricochet, if you think about it. R-Truth was the trooper tonight. Then Eric Rowan comes out, and now we realize, we talked about it on Monday, but it's obvious now, the cover is glued to the cage, and I would love to know the type of glue that they use, because I think WWE started to get concerned of what I said a couple of weeks ago, that there's got, some drunken fan has got to jump that barricade and pull the cover off and have all his friends recording it. Then you bribe WWE, give me $1,000. Otherwise, I put the video of the mask online. So Eric Rowan's beating up R-Truth. Eric Rowan does dirty tactics. He gets his ass DQ'd after 2 minutes. He continues to beat up, you know, R-Truth. R-Truth is laid out. AJ Styles comes in. AJ Styles, funny as hell. Mimicking R-Truth, mocking him, doing the dancing, and the crowd was into AJ Styles big time. Loud AJ Styles chants. He was having fun with it. He ends up beating R-Truth in only about 2 minutes plus. So there goes my prediction. And I'm saying to myself, okay, you know, OC, best in the world. AJ Styles, you know, with the trophy. All right, they got all hardware, you know. Why not? Saudi Arabia hardware. And Rey Mysterio was supposed to be next in the finals. So Rey Mysterio's music hits, he don't come out. Hits again, don't come out. They show footage of the OC beating the crap out of Rey Mysterio. AJ Styles tells the referee that, you know, award me the win. Then you had the announcer say that if AJ Styles' opponent, didn't say Rey, said his opponent does not come out by the 10 count, then that's it. And we're thinking, okay, maybe Undertaker. That crowd was very smart. You heard them chanting Undertaker. I think they pretty much, you know what's going on. So next thing we know, Undertaker's music hits. And like I said, I am not, look, I defend Goldberg. I'll defend Undertaker too. But, you know, he is spectacle. His greatest matches or even excellent matches are behind him. But it's spectacle now. Crowd eats it up, you know, comes to the ring. You know, I mean, I don't think there was any doubt that this was going to be the outcome. Undertaker pins AJ Styles. Undertaker wins the trophy. Made the crowd happy. Crowd had no problem with it. But again, I just feel like, when are you going to see that trophy again? You think the Undertaker is going to come out with the trophy in his arm? You know, I just felt R-Truth, comedy father, AJ Styles, he has Saudi Arabia gold, OC has Saudi Arabia gold, best in the world, Twink trophy. Nah, we'll give it to a guy that trophy is going to rest in peace. We ain't seeing that trophy again. So, but again, it was spectacle. Crowd loved it. Undertaker. And my God, think of the payday. All Rey Mysterio, you could have had a pre-recorded segment in the back. You could have had some Saudi banners in the background. Rey could be in Mexico right now or in California, you know, dialing his friend 619. Hey, you know, everybody thinks I'm there. Dopes. But they make him go all the way to Saudi Arabia just to get beat down by the OC in the back. Not a bad payday. Undertaker just got to come out, 30 seconds, move. That's it. So we got that. Next, Big E, Kofi. They lose the SmackDown tag titles to Miz and Morrison. Was not a bad match. You know, it started out a little bit slow. And I love common sense like this. We have seen it on other events for other promotions, and we've seen it in WWE before, but sometimes it happens because of miscommunication. But I love when someone goes to do a high-flying move outside the ring, and the person just moves aside, lets them just crash and burn. Now, you got to understand something. As logical as that is, shit hurts. to dive from top rope or inside the ring and land to the floor, you know, sure, they know how to fall and everything, but that still hurts a lot more. You know, VPW, I can't remember who it was, Sabotage. You know, I'll always remember this. And any of you in the Northeast, you might remember him. But he wrestled in the indie circuit in the Northeast. His name was Sabotage. And, you know, I did a couple of managing events. I managed wrestlers that faced him. And the one thing that guy used to always say to me repeatedly, and if anybody knows him, you could ask him. He'll tell you, no, I really did. He said the one thing that he loved about me, even though I sucked as a manager, he said that I would catch him so beautifully. Like, he would jump off the top rope, and I just look up last minute. You know, Dick Van Klondike, when he talks about people waiting to get jumped, I would purposely, like, the last second, I'd be like this, and then I'd just look up, and boom! And I would catch him every time. And he used to go out of his way to tell people, he's like, that guy catches me. I could jump off the Empire State Building, and he'll catch me perfectly. So it braces your fall. You know, so, you know, as great of a visual that is during the match, you know, catching someone, you know, protects them too. But again, I don't think there was any doubt that Miz and Morrison were getting these belts, in my opinion. I know some of you out there thought that New Day would retain. But, you know, now you got Miz and Morrison tag champs. We'll see where it goes to WrestleMania. Again, I think a lot of this weighs into the Otis story. I just feel that, yes, right now they have Dolph Ziggler making the moves on Mandy Rose. I almost feel like Miz and Morrison fit that bill a hell of a lot. Not Miz, because he's married, he's got Miz and Mrs., but Morrison, you know, we'll see. Next, we had Angel Garza beat Humberto Carrillo. And look, great competitive match. These two guys obviously are great in the ring. I know they keep selling us about them being cousins and, you know, they don't like each other, but it just, you don't feel that real hatred. Angel Garza obviously has leapfrogged Humberto Carrillo on the food chain, but, you know, Carrillo is still very, very young. Got plenty of time, and I will continue saying this until it happens. Carrillo has those heel dimples. That guy, to me, should be a heel. Angel Garza is awesome as a heel, too. I wouldn't mind them two teaming up and being these cocky Latinos that you just wanted to see the crap knocked out of them. Let me see. Some people are saying that there's a little issue over here. Or that just might be on your part. Yeah, that's just on your part. Everything is cool over here. You know, as we were doing the show, a few people were commenting that some other people's feeds were being shut down while they're doing their recap right now. I honestly have no idea why. So, you know, it could just be overload too. You know, who knows? You know, that's one thing I'm realizing about YouTube. You know, sometimes when I do these shows for about 2 seconds, you might hear a little bit of or see a little distorted video. YouTube is not perfect. I could make it perfect. Very easy. Simply by recording these beforehand on my computer, not with YouTube, and uploading it to YouTube later. If I do that, the video will be perfect. But when you're on YouTube servers live and they got 30 million or, you know, YouTubers streaming and stuff like that, you're going to have a little bit of issue as far as quality goes. That's just something you have to accept with YouTube. I mean, I've gotten a crash course on that. But usually if you have an issue, I would just reload, you know, and, you know, that's it. Now, look, it's okay. Some people are saying that some other podcasters were using actual video footage of the matches tonight. Yeah, that's a no-no. There's nothing wrong with putting a still shot of a photo. But as far as video and music, you can't do that. You can't. Oh, Carmelo, yeah. This is acid, as in acid house. House Music 1988, that's why I'm wearing the acid hat. I was going to wear a regular hat, but I haven't worn this one yet, so I thought, why not? But Carrillo and Garza, you know, it just feels like something is lacking there. It's a fun match to watch them, but you don't have that investment, you know, that personal investment. Sure, Garza is coming off well as a heel, but I still think Carrillo needs to turn heel. And once again, Garza goes on top for today. Next, we had the Street Profits versus Murphy and Seth Rollins. And, you know, it felt like they toned down a little bit of Seth Rollins' Messiah, you know, in the ring, because you got to be very careful with religion, especially in Saudi Arabia, you know. And yes, look, the Monday Night Messiah, it's not Catholic. Even though they had the church thing with the shirt and everything, you know, you got to be very careful with religion in Saudi Arabia. And that's why you pretty much had the target burn it down more than anything else. But, you know, just basically, you know, waving to the crowd like this, you know, not trying to be like religious about it. Match was okay. Felt like it was rushed. The feud, it felt like it was an Acme Insta-feud, as I used to say. What's up, Chad Carpenter, listening from Kentucky. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it. It felt like a Monday Night Raw match. It felt like filler. And, you know, listened to, well, you know, we came to the aid of Kevin Owens because he came to the aid of us and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. A lot of names notably absent in Saudi Arabia this time around. Take note. And look, I don't want to use any individual names, but take note of some of the people who were so inconvenienced the last Saudi Arabia show. Their families couldn't sleep. They couldn't eat. They were crying. They almost had heart attacks. They almost had coronaries. And you some bitches went right back to Saudi Arabia again. And I'm saying that jokingly, because yours truly, from minute one, never bought this crap that all these websites were selling, that they're being held against their will and this, and, you know, they sabotaged the plane and I'll continue saying it. I know it's a broken record, but I'll keep saying it. So people, all of you know, when you see all these websites writing ridiculous shit like that, especially like what went down the last Saudi show, go on the non-wrestling websites, see if it's covered. See if the major news organizations are covering it. Oh my God, all these Americans overseas and, you know, and you don't see anybody writing about it. It was garbage. What it came down to was blue check marks inconvenienced for a little while. Big fucking deal. How many of you out there have been on a plane going to Orlando, going somewhere else, and there's a problem and you're sitting on the tarmac for 3, 4, 5 hours? It sucks. It's not fun. I've never gone through that, but I know a lot of you that have. And, you know, and it's not fun. But for these people, they think the world is coming to an end. You know, they're having, you know, knipshits over it. I don't really care. Mansoor over Dolph Ziggler. Match was a lot shorter than I expected it to be. If you remember the last card, Mansoor versus Cesaro was my favorite match on the card. And Mansoor and Dolph Ziggler had the capability of possibly being match of the night. It was a decent match. You know, Robert Roode getting in Mansoor's face. You know Mansoor was going to get the upper hand there. And it was a nice match. But again, Mansoor has ability. And they are taking their sweet-ass time with him. I think he, by now, should be a little bit further with WWE in the Cruiserweight division, but he is doing great. You know, when it comes to Saudi Arabia, you know, remember my Don Finucci analogy. That's what it is, you know? And you can't get upset because Cesaro did the job, Ziggler did the job. You know, it's Saudi Arabia, it's Mansoor, that's why he's going to get the speech. They may name a street after him, they may make monuments after him. They're very proud of Mansoor, and they should be. This is a Saudi Arabia event. They are catering to the Saudi Arabia fans, and that's what it is. Now, when I say this, I mean it completely serious. I am not saying it to be sarcastic. Because again, I look at it in the perspective of Saudi Arabia. In my opinion, they need to have Mansoor. I know this is going to sound ridiculous to some of you. They need Mansoor, the next Saudi Arabia show, to either wrestle for a title or even have a match against somebody like Brock Lesnar or someone else. I'm dead serious. Maybe Lesnar is a stretch, but they need him to fight for something that means a little bit more. I don't know if WWE or Saudi Arabia would allow Mansoor to lose in Saudi Arabia right now. You know, when he gives these speeches after, you know, you believed in me and this, this, and that. The one thing that you haven't seen with a lot of these PSAs in countries abroad is, I lost, but I got back up. You know, it feels more like must win, must win, must win. So I don't know if WWE in Saudi Arabia would be willing to do that. But I actually think, you know, there is money in Saudi Arabia. Mansoor fights for a title, any title. That is a big deal in Saudi Arabia. I think the local fans would go apeshit over that. They would eat it up. And Mansoor has proven to have great matches. Maybe he's not ready for certain types of opponents, but he's had good enough matches where, you know, you can buy into it. I would buy into Mansoor versus, I don't want to say Lesnar, but Mansoor versus another champion more than I did Ricochet and Goldberg. Brock Lesnar, excuse me. And that leads to the next match. On the predictions contest on Patreon, the tiebreaker was to predict the time in a match. I said that Ricochet wasn't going to last 90 seconds. I think my official prediction was like a minute 21 or a minute 22. I believe it was a minute 28 or a minute 29 tonight. It was interesting early on because when I saw that vignette package with Ricochet, you know, showing the clip of him in Evolve and showing how he, you know, people said he'd never make it to WWE. That clip was so long. The longer it went, I'm saying to myself, ah, shit. He's going to go 4, 5, 6 minutes. You don't put that much time into a video package. It just gets squashed like a grape. Then we realize he got squashed like a grape. And, yeah, you know, he loses and, you know, 1 minute, 30 seconds and out of there. I don't think it surprised a lot of people. I know some people are disappointed, but it is what it is. You know, I mean, Ricochet, you know, it was just suspension of disbelief. Him defeating Gallows, him defeating others. You know, it's basically, you know, to get you to think. And let me tell you this. There are people out there that on the predictions contest predicted that Ricochet was going to win. When WWE has a match like that, they want you to have so much, you know, undecisiveness that you start thinking, hey, you know, maybe Lesnar could lose. No. No, that's not the case. So Brock Lesnar does retain, and he goes into WrestleMania taking on Drew McIntyre. And it's, again, it's the scenic route. You know, it's same thing with Bayley, same thing with Brock Lesnar, and we'll see what happens with Goldberg with the title. So next we have Roman Reigns versus King Corbin in a cage. Thank God, thank God, thank God. This is a feud. This is a match that I did not need to see. I mean, when I heard a day or two ago the announcements that this feud is going to be it, this is the last match, I'm like, thank fucking God. That feud with Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin. Look, for young fans out there, for kids, you know, with the dog food and the other stuff, the kids probably enjoy it, the storyline, more than anything else. But it was painful for yours truly all of these months. It would have like a little high once in a while, but for the most part, it was just the low. You know, doing the that was when it was like, my God, now I hate dogs. It's like, and Michael Cole, God bless him. I could tolerate him. But again, I've said it before. I think Roman Reigns should induct Michael Cole into the WWE Hall of Fame. It's the big dog. I'm so fed up with that, man. So fed up. But you know, Roman Reigns wins the cage match. You know, it was what it was. I didn't like it. You know, towards the end, you know, there was a little bit of this is awesome chance. Big freaking deal. Seriously. Thank God the feud is over. Let's see where Roman Reigns goes next. Again, I'm curious if they go Reigns. Hey, since people were talking about it, maybe it ends up being Reigns, Goldberg, Fiend at WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't know. Next, we have Bayley versus Naomi. And look, they came out fully clothed, T-shirts on. I don't know why, especially after the last event, they thought it was going to be any different. The evolution of women wrestling in Saudi Arabia is not determined on clothing. Like, it, you're not going to all of a sudden see, well, I can't really do it here. Oh my God, look, look, they have no sleeves. They're evolving in Saudi Arabia. It's not based on clothing. They're going to wear the shirts. They're going to cover themselves up. Bayley, she probably felt like it was 150 degrees wearing like that outfit underneath in case the T-shirt comes off or something. Violet, this is the Don Tony show. I do these pay-per-view recaps. So, but, you know, Bayley looked like she was really hot with that outfit. Naomi had to tone down a little bit of the glow. But you could see, you know, this is legit history. I mean, when you are a certain gender and you're being held back, whether it's in your country or a foreign country, and you know that you're making progress for people down the line, that's powerful, man. I mean, Bayley is a heel, but you could see a little bit the smiles and getting a little animated. And you're going to see video footage later on of Bayley acknowledging people in Saudi Arabia. You'll see a few hugs. I mean, it was fine. I mean, the match, you know, I don't like the match placement, to be honest with you. I didn't think the cage match needed to end so late in the card. If you're going to have the women follow the cage match, fine. But I personally would have rather have seen Lesnar versus Ricochet, you know, maybe a little bit later on. But then again, when you think about it too, I'll flip-flop it. I would have rather see Mansoor versus Dolph Ziggler instead of the women for the next to last match, because it just fell a little bit flat. And I understand, looking at it this way, why you may not want Lesnar and Ricochet and then Fiend Goldberg back-to-back, because there's two heavyweight title matches that only would go, you know, a couple of minutes at most. So, you know, the women's match was fun, but in the end, I don't think there was any doubt that Bayley was going to retain. And, you know, that's it. So we got into the main event, and the main event was Goldberg, as I said earlier in the show, defeating The Fiend for the Universal title. And Goldberg is the now new Universal champion, and he goes into SmackDown as the champion. I don't think there's really much more that I can add to what I said already about it. I mean, the match, you know, look, when he was giving him the mandible claw early on, I started to get a little bit excited, because if you remember when I was talking about the match, I thought, okay, Fiend wins. He puts the mandible claw on Goldberg. Fiend gets chokes him out. Goldberg passes out from the mandible claw, and he doesn't get pinned. He doesn't submit, and Fiend remains Universal Champion. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think anybody out there should. May not be the champion anymore. I don't think that it's that big of a deal. Sure, on the surface, and I said this earlier, and we'll wrap it up with this. On the surface, it feels a little disrespectful for The Fiend, because The Fiend has, you know, again, been the number one guy with merchandise. It's still an aura. Thank God we didn't get the red lighting today. Thank freaking God. And maybe some people think that maybe the lack of red lighting might have been a signal that maybe Goldberg does win this thing. But look, Goldberg hits him with a couple of spears, and the Fiend kicks out. And I held out hope that the Fiend would eventually put the mandible claw on. Goldberg can't take it. He passes out. Fiend wins, goes off the air. Fine. 1, 2, 3. Now, Chris says that the Fiend officially died tonight. Here's the thing. When Goldberg won, the lights went off. You know, I was curious if somebody else was going to show up for the Fiend. I was curious to see if maybe the Fiend has Goldberg choked out or something, maybe a special effect, something. But the lights go out, they come back on, the Fiend is under the ring. And, you know, I don't think the Fiend character is dead. You don't kill off, put it this way, there is so much more that is caca in the WWE than the Fiend. I don't think the Fiend character sucks. I know some people out there feel that it has gotten a little stale. You know, even when you have intercourse, you know, and you blow your load, there is a time where you kind of want to just smoke a cigarette, maybe eat something, go watch a little TV, snuggle. You know, you can't be the jackhammer, the genetic jackhammer, for 8 hours. You know, you're going to have highs and lows. You're going to have hills and valleys. And the Fiend is good. Look, the Fiend is only as good as who he is feuding with also. You know, the Fiend doing the segments, remember when, before the Fiend ever debuted in the ring, and we started getting these Firefly Funhouse segments, everybody thought it was the greatest freaking thing in years, because there was no feuds attached to it. It was just people were wondering, what is he going to be? Is it a Pee Wee Herman ripoff? Is it a Mr. Rogers ripoff? Is he bipolar? Are the kids real? Or is it this? Is that? So you basically have all of this. And now he feuds. And you remember, it felt like everybody on the wall was the Fiend getting revenge on people who he interacted with in the past. Then they did detours. Then you got Saudi Arabia. Then you have him, you know, hitting people and choking them out that really had no history with him. Then you see that diversion. Now, and this is why I said it before, I'll continue saying it, not going to spend time on it now, but I get this asked to me like at least a couple of times a month. Don Tony, if you could change one thing in the WWE right now, what would you do? My answer is simple. And the fucking roster split. And this SmackDown only, you know, it looks so ridiculous when you have the war room of SmackDown and the war room of USA Network and the war room of Fox, and they're supposed to be at total odds against each other. And then you see on Twitter, Fox is plugging all this stuff that's happening on the USA Network and vice versa. I'm like, come on, man. If you could have this competition, suspension of disbelief that it's battling brands and this and that, you don't plug the other person. If I'm competing with someone, I'm not going to plug them. You know, this isn't, it's just, so you look at all of that, get rid of the freaking roster split, because there are so many more. You don't have to have wrestlers always working both brands, but right now you almost feel like there's a couple of people that I guarantee you, you would probably come up with that are on Raw right now that you would love to see feud with the Fiend or feud with somebody else and vice versa. Even women. You know, you look at you got Dana Brooke teaming up with this person, and, you know, God bless the people out there. You know, they fall for it every time. They fell for it years ago, and I'm always telling them this is just smoke and mirrors because they don't have anybody else to put in that position. Oh, Dana Brooke's finally going to get the push and the opportunity. No, it's just they had no one else to put in that position, and eventually you see what happened. Psh, bye. You know? I mean, and you feel bad because, look, Ember Moon was injured. She might still be, but you see people like Ember Moon and others that, you know, don't get that opportunity. And the freaking roster split. You can have a champion on each brand, and they're proud to that brand. But there is no reason to have this roster split. The roster, you don't have a plethora of larger-than-life main eventers where people say, I paid to see blah, blah, blah. You know, kids back in the day, I paid to see John Cena. They're dressed heel to toe. At some points, I paid to see Roman Reigns. I paid to see this. I paid to see that. Now, it's like going to a buffet. Anybody out there ever go to buffet dinners or lunches or breakfast? You pay like 10 bucks or 20 bucks. They give you a plate with nothing in it. And then you just walk and you take a little bit of everything. And after about an hour, you're stuffed beyond belief. And you're like, man, I am full. And then you realize, like, nothing that you ate was memorable. But you had a little ziti, you had a little shrimp, you had a piece of bread, you had some salad, you had a lobster tail, you had some crab legs, you had a piece of pizza, you had a meatball, you had chicken, you had this, you had General Tso's. You have a little bit of that. That's what WWE is right now. They don't have, I mean, they have a couple of people, but they don't have that signature dish. That, remember back in the day with Austin and Rock, and that's setting the bar awfully high. But people would go just to see one person. I saw him. I went home happy. So, you know, that's how I feel about it. And the freaking roster split. You know, there's no reason why you could still have it competitive. But, you know, the minute you got Fox plugging Raw and Raw plugging SmackDown after the war rooms, I'm like, you know, this is supposed to be suspension of disbelief. You know, imagine watching a soap opera on TV where two people, they do the story where two people hate each other and then they're liking each other's tweets on social media. You know, there's got to be some consistency here. I mean, not everybody watching is 5 years old that does not see those things, you know. And after a while, I mean, you see what's happening with ticket sales and attendance and this. And it's not, oh, it's the sign of the times. There's a reason why WWE's value went down over $1 billion. It's not that people, AEW. No, people are off the bandwagon for WWE because they're not confident about the future. You remember about a year and a half ago, I said, watch. I said, as soon as WWE, once that Fox deal is in the books, and once Saudi Arabia is in the books, when they first announced that they were going to have this deal, when a year goes by and you can't tout that revenue anymore, that announcement, it's like somebody on social media that posts an announcement, big announcement, oh my God, 300 likes. And then a month later, another huge announcement, oh my God, 250 likes. And then a couple of months later, big announcement, oh my God, 188 likes. After a while, when you run out of big announcements, bye-bye. Let me go focus on someone else. So, anyway, with that said, I tried to extend this for an hour. I think I did a decent job. I came home. I stood up until 4:30 this morning after Monday, which I ended up doing a redo with the show because we had some audio technical issues, codecs mismatching and updates going on and crap like that. But, hey, if you like this, post a like. I understand why that's so important now, but if you like this, hey, that's what keeps me going, man. I see people praising this stuff. You could disagree with me. I'm an easy person. You don't have to worry about me getting triggered or ripping you apart. You know, if you disagree about something, speak out. Tell me. You know, I just say, hey, I'll respect you. You respect me. That's why people thought I was nuts. I had some people email me yesterday like, are you fucking crazy? Giving props to everybody who thought I was insane about the Nyla Rose stuff and that. I'm like, hey, man, you know, as much as some of the people out there were outrageous of what they said, they at least had the balls to speak out. And they were doing it because they really felt that way, which is a little disappointing in some cases. But at the end, they were being honest. They weren't doing it just to get this. So, you know, you can always approach me. Any suggestions, by all means. I am very accessible. You can follow me on Twitter, at DonTonyD. I now have Instagram. I set up Instagram about 5 days ago. I'm looking for more fun stuff to put on there. The picture of the bush, that will be posted tomorrow. And I'm overwhelmed with the support that you have given me on YouTube. I'm not even on YouTube 5 weeks. And again, a broken record after 22 and a half years of doing audio only. We're almost at 8,000 subscribers already. I mean, I thought I'd get maybe 10,000 by the end of the year. We're not even 6 weeks in and I'm almost at 8,000. So when we break 8,000, I will wear another Grand Theft Auto outfit that people are, oh my God, I have, oh, I should go get it, but I don't want to reveal it. Just think red, blood red acrylic sweatsuit, like LL Cool J 80s. Yours truly had an outfit. The white's a little off now, but I found it. I got these MC Hammer jeans that, it's going to be fun, man. And going to start the food challenges soon. We're going to be doing some baseball talk on here, some politics. We're going to mix it up. This channel, right now, it's mostly wrestling. A little bit of Growing Up Don Tony mixed in, but I said, give me 2 months, which is another two and a half weeks. Once I have 2 months under my belt and I'm pretty much used to this, then I'll start expanding into other topics. I'll be doing that debate with Joey Numbers very, very soon. I know a lot of you out there want to see certain other projects with certain hosts that you never thought I would ever team up with and doing stuff. We're going to have a lot of fun. There's no rush to do everything at this particular moment. Plus, when you factor in about my regular job, you know, the relationship, being engaged, having my parents who are not doing well health-wise, there's a lot of things going on at the same time. This is an outlet for me to just not think about the bullshit that we go through every day. Same thing for all of you out there. So if we could spend a little bit of time and just laugh and have fun and talk about whatever, it's worth it, man. It just keeps me going, and I appreciate it. So with that, I am out of here. Now, don't forget, Saturday, AEW Revolution pay-per-view. I did predictions yesterday. It seems that my idea with Cody and his list of demands, people are really catching on to. We'll see where that goes. Will that happen at the pay-per-view? No, but you have to listen to the predictions to hear why I said what I said. But I will be doing a recap Saturday night. The Don Tony Show returns Saturday night to do the recap. I was not planning on doing one tomorrow night, Friday night, because I did one Monday. Actually, I did Breakfast Soup Sunday, did DTKC Monday, did Wednesday Night Dynamite yesterday, did this recap today, doing Saturday Revolution. But if anything major happens with Goldberg and that belt on Friday, or some major twist happens on SmackDown, I will be up here and I'll do what I guess is called reaction videos. I didn't even know that that was a title. You know, that's what they call them. But a lot of you out there have been asking me, do reaction videos. I did that one with Otis and Valentine's Day. So maybe I'll be up here Friday doing like a reaction video or something. We'll see where it goes. But at minimum, you'll have me Saturday. Right now, I have the tentative time to do Revolution at 10 p.m. If Revolution ends a little bit later, I'll adjust the start time accordingly, but you will definitely get a recap and a review Saturday. So I am out of here, everyone. Be well. Let me know what you thought about the pay-per-view today. At Don Tony D, Instagram. Oh, somebody's asking me, a few of you. Instagram is instagram.com/DonTonyDTT. It sounds DT as in Don Tony and D as in David. So Don Tony D. TD. I'll have a banner on the screen, you know, in the very near future so you could see it. And that's pretty much it. I think we had a good recap. And I'm out of here, everyone. Take care, be well, and I will talk to you soon. Ciao, everybody.
Son, oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus.
Son, oh my.
And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night.
Don, oh my. You could have fun. You really are. And you know what? It would be very disrespectful because I just looked at the chat. Zach Rayner, thank you very much, my friend, contributed to the DT fund. Trust me, a lot of any revenue that comes in, almost all of it goes right back into the freaking shows. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate everybody tuning in. Much love as always, everybody. And I will catch you all again on Saturday. Take care. Be well.